something about traveling a little bit and going to other places. You know, you can get caught up trying to travel all over and try to find God this place and that place. But when we get together with other churches we know and other ministers and get invited to things, a lot of wonderful things can happen. I was radically revived when I went to a minister's conference in Beaumont, so I can understand what happens to our youth when they go and get away and get a different environment. Hear a fresh preacher, you know, speaking to the youth, and it's wonderful. I praise God that he's done that in our young people, because they all have to get saved just like you and I did. They all have to do. I know they're your children, and you think God's going to make an exception, but he's not. They have to come to know him themselves. Amen. And aren't you glad that you're just not in it by yourself, that we're all with you? Amen? That we're kind of, I know it's a kind of a corny book. It takes a village to raise a child or something that Hillary Clinton wrote. But there is a concept in that. It's nice to have a church family raise our young ones. Amen? Praise God. Remember, too, though, they're watching you. They're watching you. You can be a great example. You can be light, or you can be darkness and that. I'm going to preach a message today that is, out of all the messages I ever preached, is probably the one that is, I can feel it, is has the most resistance. I was preaching this up in the UP once at a revival meeting, and a minister and his wife got up and walked out on me halfway through. So I preached it here before, and I preached at other places, and you can just tell. And it isn't because I'm preaching anything wrong, which you'll see, but it's just our church, the way we're trained and told to think about things, just kind of goes against our thinking at first. But if you just let the Lord minister to you and speak to you, you'll get what I'm saying. And it's meant to encourage you, not to confuse you. And what I want to do is evaluate this whole concept of what we call perfection, being perfect before the Lord. You think preaching to believers to walk perfect could actually make them give up, but I'm going to tell you it actually will encourage you. And to preaching to Christians that they are all just sinners, they will go on and continue to big failures, I believe is what causes Christians to fall away. They can give up. I think some of my own preacher friends don't agree with me on this, but we are not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners saved by grace. We are saints who are given power over sin. Praise God. I could take this suit off, this coat off, to make a point. I could be without this coat, and somebody could put it on me and say, now you have a coat, and it would be right there shining before me, but I could resist it and insist that, no, I don't have a coat. We can resist that insist that we're sinners, but we are saints of God. That's what we're called. So, again, nowhere in this message will I give a hint that I believe that you can get to this perfection that you're going to get when you go into glory, where you don't even have the capacity to sin anymore. While you live here, you will have the capacity to sin. You will have to deal with your fleshy nature. And because of that, you could say in your mind, well, then you can't be perfect if you have that potential. And I can agree with you on that. I won't argue with you on that. But the scriptures clearly talk about Christians and Old Testament saints walking perfect and complete before God. Hallelujah. They are not perfect because I say so. They are perfect because the Bible does. So you can take up your argument with God after I'm done preaching here. Text, 2 Chronicles 15:17. Lord, you put this on my heart to preach this again. It's been some years, Lord, and I just pray, God, that every heart would be open and receive, God, what you want us to get, what you want us to understand today, in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles 15:17, But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. The New King James Version will probably use the word complete, maybe some other versions. And I'll share later that that is actually the Strong's definition of perfect. 2 Chronicles 16:9, one more chapter over. 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. 2 Chronicles 25:1-2. I kind of think this message is appropriate after you understanding last week about the light, that the light can shine in us. And I think this is kind of a compliment to that. Maybe it's a series God has in his mind that I didn't think of. 2 Chronicles 25:1-2. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Job 1:1. I'm sure you guys had a good discussion, John, when you started Job. You can get stuck on that first verse for quite a while. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. 2 Corinthians, going into the New Testament, chapter 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Paul never told us to do anything that we couldn't do. You understand that, right? Anything the Bible tells us to do, we have the ability and capacity to do through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit working in our life. Hebrews 6:1 is the last least for our opening text. I have quite a few scriptures in here because I got a point to make that the Bible has to make for me. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So again, the word perfect in Hebrew means complete. It means pious. In Greek, it means to complete thoroughly. So one of the applications for the Greek word for perfect is growth. So we're talking about Christian growth. We're talking about maturing in the saints. And it also comes from a derivative word that means fresh. And I like that word fresh, meaning every morning when you get up, it's a fresh day with the Lord, a fresh start with God. Like you said, Paige, you can't think about what you did, about the past. Every day is a fresh new day. And as I stated earlier, the word perfect or complete is found in the Bible. We cannot deny it. God is calling us to walk perfect and be perfect, at least according to his definition. We are to be walking in a way he calls perfect or complete. It is important that you understand that this word does not mean that you have arrived in your heavenly state. And it means that you are on your way to that place. You are growing in Christ. And that is what God calls perfect. There is the doctrine out there of perfection. And I met a couple people that believed it. And they were like the meanest, orneriest people I ever met. A guy comes to Romania. And he believed in this sinless perfection. And he blew the whole school of Christ up in a day. We had to send him back home. He's just so proud and so arrogant. And they think they don't sin anymore or something. So that's why some people reject this, get a little fearful when you talk about perfection. But I got three analogies I want to use from just work experiences and parenting. And, you know, I was building a house and maybe, you know, finished it now. Some of you came and visited it and while in the different phases of construction. And even though it wasn't done, I didn't hear anybody criticize my house and say, well, this doesn't look very nice. This is like, I can't even tell where the rooms are. They weren't like complaining to me. They were excited with me to see progress being made. Joy and I, every time we would go there, we would get excited, more and more excited as more of the things would come into place and just, you know, thinking ahead of the day that we're going to live there, and the excitement would grow. And then I would call the building inspector to have come and inspect to make sure everything was done to code. But you know what? I never, ever called him once thinking, well, this isn't done right and this isn't done to code, but I'm going to call him anyway and have him come and tell me. I made sure everything that I could potentially think of, look it over, and of course I missed stuff. I missed some cross ties up and that I didn't see, and I looked around and everything. But I didn't call him until I was saying, okay, I'm ready. Come and look. So it would have been stupid, of course, for me to call him and have him do his inspection, have him come and do his inspection, and then he passes it, and then for me to argue with him and say, come on, no, you got to find something wrong here. You know, it'd be dumb of me to do that. I would accept his inspection, just like the two of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, Smyrna and Revelation and Philadelphia. Jesus, when he wrote, had John pen those letters to him, he didn't find anything wrong with them. That would be dumb to say, oh, come on, Lord, you got to do better than that. You got to find something wrong with me. We don't have to have God find something wrong with us. You can feel like you got things right before the inspector comes. Amen. And I did. And of course, I never passed an inspection without something being wrong, but it was because he had to enlighten me. And he had to show me some things. Oh, I missed that. I missed this. And then I didn't cry and complain. I fixed it. So the point is that there is a master builder, and he is building you and I. Amen. You're going to go criticize the master builder? There isn't any of you that come and criticize me at my house and tell me, oh, you don't know what you're doing. And same thing, why would we go and tell God, you don't know what you're doing, you're making a big mistake with me, except the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain that build the house. Hebrews 3:3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Saints of God, we're under construction. We have a master builder that is building this house, this temple. Amen. I did a job for the Walskys. I've talked about it a few years ago and built them a nice covered deck. And it was one of my more difficult things I ever did. I had to call in some reinforcements because my back couldn't handle it anymore, trying to bore holes. Come to find out it was an old brickyard. And I would go down a couple inches and hit more and more bricks. And it was very hard. And there was a lot of resistance. And I ran into trouble. But you know what? I just stuck with it and got the job done. You run into different trials and tribulations in your life as a Christian. That doesn't mean that you're backslid. And that doesn't mean that you're far from God. It just means you need to keep on sticking with it. Keep on standing. When you've done all you can to stand, stand there for. Just keep at it and keep on going. I think maybe my holes might have got a little off center, but when it came down to it, they still were good enough for me to set my forms and everything and called the building inspector, and he approved it and okayed it. And it just took me a little harder work to get that approval, but I worked hard and got it done. So even in the midst of the most severe and difficult times of growth, if you keep on pressing on and keep on standing, the job will get done. God will do in you what he has set out to do. Amen. If you let him do in you what he set out to do, he will do it. And then the last point I want to make on this is children coloring. I'm absolutely positive there's not a parent in here when their child. I laugh because one time I sat back by Chris and Ellie during testimonies, and they're bringing their little scribbles over to me, and I took a piece of one of those coloring books, and I just scribbled like them. Like, what are you thinking? They're like, no, they knew that I had to do better than that, but it was okay. I still laugh about that today in my mind. But your little child, they scribble something out in a couple different color crayons. They go off the page, and oh, you just think that's the greatest thing, right? You put it in a scrapbook, and they're like, there's not one of you that says, come on, you can do better than that. Don't go giving me this garbage. But of course, the 10-year-old can do better than the 3-year-old, amen? Now, I hope you don't think I'm backsliding. This is 2 weeks in a row I'm doing an object lesson, but I'm going to use my little granddaughter, Eden, if this is a work. This is another one of those things I laugh about at home when my grandkids come and pick up the medicine ball. Eden, look at this ball. Come. Come on, get the ball. Get the ball. Okay, you want Papa to help you? Okay, thank you. Here, you can take it with your daddy. You got the point. I hope you got the point. You see, there was an enthusiasm. There was a desire. She saw that she delighted in it. She fell right for the bait. She came to get it. She just did not have the ability to pick it up. It's a little 8-pound medicine ball. And all of my grandkids came in my office and see they didn't pick it up and get frustrated. But does anybody in here have the right to scold her and say, you little rotten brat, you. You couldn't pick up that ball. Get that little scribbly picture out of my face. Consider this. You can shoot a bow and an arrow and hit the bullseye. You can shoot a basketball and swish it. I've done that a few times in my life. Like, you can take a test and get an A on it. Did you ever know that? Anybody in here ever get an A on a test? Not too many of us. But it is possible, right? You could keep on taking it until you got an A. In fact, if you kept on taking the same test over and over, eventually you would get an A. You can pass the driving test and get your license and drive. A musician, doesn't happen too much to me anymore, but a musician can play a song without making a mistake. You can walk along the curb and not fall off. Amen? So I'm saying, according to God's definition, we can walk perfect before God. It's like he said that about Job, and he said that about Azariah or Amaziah or whoever they are. We can answer the call, as Paul said, be perfect. You can leave here today and make it home without sinning. Did you know that? Amen. Praise God. You don't have to sin on the way home. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You don't have to pay attention to the billboard along the side of the road. That might be a little sensuous, guys. You can read your Bible and actually concentrate on what you're reading. You can talk to God. You can actually hear him. He can hear you. You can therefore walk perfect before God, again, according to his definition. So to help us to be on that path of perfection, I want to share 3 points with you. I'm glad my sermon's a little short this morning. Wow, it's 11:45 already. We have point number one. We have a perfect pattern. The pattern that we're following is, I'm not the pattern, I think you know that, right? We have a perfect pattern, the same pattern I follow. You can follow that pattern that's in me, follow me as I follow Christ. But we have a perfect pattern, the perfect example, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why he came to live, not just to forgive us of our sins, but to actually walk and be a pattern for man to follow. He just didn't come to die to save us from our sins so we could go to heaven, but he came as a standard of how to live to please the Father. He is the image of the one we are to be conformed to. He lives in us, and as we grow in Christ, more of him shows up on the outside. Again, that goes along with last week about the light. The more the light will be seen in us. If we come week after week and subject ourselves to the ministry of the word and the ministry of the body of Christ, if we're praying, reading the word, there's absolutely no reason we should not be growing in the Lord. That's why we do these things. Amen. To grow in the Lord. And our pattern doesn't perish. I know I spent all that time building that house. One day that'll burn. But our pattern will not perish. Praise God. The next point I want to make is about the potter and the clay. Jeremiah 18:6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, O house of Israel. Aren't you glad you're in the Lord's hands today? Amen. Aren't you glad he's molding you and making you? He is working on us. And you know what? Don't be too quick to criticize God's work. Amen. Got to be careful sometimes how we say things. Because he has a perfect plan for us. And he's not rushing through to get something done. He is utterly patient with us as he's working, perfecting us. He does not have a that is good enough attitude. There's one object, perfection, period. Not, oh, that's good enough for you. Aren't you glad that he didn't say that about any of you? 2 Corinthians, this is one of Betty's favorite verses, I think. At least one of her favorite songs. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all have with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. From glory to glory. Maybe I could say it like this. See what you think. From perfection to perfection. Does that make sense? We must be pliable in the hands of the Lord. We must trust the work he is doing in our life. We must allow him to change our heart. We must cooperate with him. Being perfect on our part is being in agreement with him and not resisting him, moving with him, being pliable, letting him do as he wants. Of course, I've quoted so many times Brother Yun from the persecuted church in China. You can never really know the scriptures until you are willing to be changed by them. You know what? That's putting yourself in the hands of the potter. That word is God's hands. And if you're pliable, it'll mold you and make you, and you'll become that word. But you have to be willing to be changed. Consider this King Amaziah. The scripture said that he did what was right before the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So let's be more than right. Let's have a perfect heart. Amen? You can read your Bible, but resist the effect it has. We can, as Christians, somewhat live a Christian life, but yet hold some back. At times, we want things our way. At times, we take matters into our own hands. You are not walking perfect then, I'll tell you that. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, reveal even this unto you. You know, I think I struggled for a while even ever preaching this sermon because there was a time temptation was powerful in my life not too long ago. You would think as you get older in the Lord that that temptations and things dwindle, and some do, of course. But sometimes it can be the opposite. And I remember I heard a testimony of a man who was in his 70s. He got temptations that he never had in his life before. And he was just, it just so took him by surprise. He didn't cave into them, but I always appreciated hearing that testimony because sometimes when you get tempted and stuff, you don't feel so perfect before the Lord. And if you give in to temptation, you're not being perfect before the Lord. But being tempted isn't a sin. Being tempted doesn't mean you're not walking perfect before God. It's when you entertain it and when you give in. That I love just experiencing some victories over that and understanding over it, and kind of freed me up again to preach this. But I found myself maybe being at the same place others in this church that maybe had a hard time with this message, me kind of understanding, I could see why. I don't feel so perfect right now. If you don't feel so perfect right now, just give it over to God. And he will, his love and his acceptance and his forgiveness is so powerful. You just feel like there's nothing wrong there, God. There's nothing wrong. And then the last point I want to make is the greatest. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's some translations that don't have the second half of that. The condemnation can come to you if you're walking in the flesh. But if you're walking in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Even if the devil tries to condemn you, you can reject it, fight it off. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. When we walk in the Spirit, we are walking perfect. We are called to perfection. If God said Job was perfect, I'm not going to argue with him. Are you going to go ahead and take that word out in your Bible and write in a different word? I'm not going to. If Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says he wishes even our perfection, then I'm going to believe I can live in it. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says he preaches Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is the goal of every minister that everybody ministers to. He's working them toward being perfect, walking a perfect life before the Lord, and then walking into, at the very end of it, absolute perfection. We're the Lord forever and never have not even one bad thought. Imagine that for a billion, zillion, quintillion, tamillion years, you never have one bad thought. That doesn't seem possible, does it? Never one moment is like, I don't want to give God glory today. There is no like today. It's just one big day forever and ever and ever. But that's final completeness. Amen. But in a sense, we're just going from completeness to completeness, from perfection to perfection, from glory to glory, and just moving on with the Lord. If we can be presented perfect, then let's do it. Growing in Christ is walking in perfection. So to wrap all this up in a simple understanding, when God sees Christ growing in you, he sees you perfect. Praise God. You know what happens when you sin? You're not in that perfection anymore. Okay, that's the reality of it. But as soon as you repent, you're walking right back in it again. Amen. Lord gave me a little thought one time, and then I heard another little story, and I'll end with these two. Anybody in here think you could be perfect for a minute? I'm sure some of you think that. Well, if you could be perfect for a minute, how about 5 minutes? How about 10 minutes? How about a couple hours? Maybe a day? Maybe a week, maybe a month. I heard another story of another evangelist from Puerto Rico. Asked the man if he could walk perfect for a month. And the guy insisted, the Christian insisted, no, that's impossible. Nobody can walk perfect for a month. And he says, well, how about for a week? And the guy still insists, no, nobody can walk perfect for a week. He says, well, how about for a day? And the guy still insisted, no, nobody can walk perfect for a day. Okay, how about a couple hours? No. How about 10 minutes? No. How about 5 minutes? How about 1 minute? No, nobody can walk perfect for a minute. Well, how about for a second? And the Christian thought for a minute, and he goes, I guess a Christian could walk perfect for a second. And then the preacher said, well, then live your life 1 second at a time. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're encouraged because I'm done. This is a short message, but I think the point is made. You and I have different ideas of perfection. But the Bible clearly, I mean, then God does, but the Bible clearly says that he looked at people and said they're complete while they were still living on earth. He looked at people and said they were perfect even while they were living on earth. Is that too much to ask? And I have a call out this morning to say, come on, saints, let's walk perfect before our God. Amen. If you blow it, I don't even like talking like this, but just let me say it. Before today's over, you blow it, just repent and get back on perfect. Get back on the path of perfect. Amen. Yeah.